We're going to begin reading today in Matthew chapter 28, and as I shared with you earlier, we're going to read from Matthew, and then from Mark, and then from Luke, and then we'll get to John, and then I'll start preaching. And so we'll enjoy. I've kind of picked out parts because each of the Gospels is just a slightly bit different as far as what they see and the timetable. So I thought we would just read it. And so please follow along. Matthew chapter 28, beginning to read with the first verse, and we'll read down through verse 15. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, it has begun to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, as I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 11. Mark chapter 16. Please listen very carefully as the message from each one of the gospel speakers, gospel messengers, brings it to us. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Mark 16, 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, once again, verse 1. We'll be reading 12 verses here. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and the Mary of Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we'll read 18 verses of this gospel. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And when we know, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto the woman, Why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And then the same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst of them, and said, Peace unto you. As we look back at John chapter 19, verse 30. The center of that verse tells us, John 19:30, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Father, thank you today that we had the opportunity to read your precious word. Help us, Father, by the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts, to show us the truth. Life doesn't begin until we are born again. And Nicodemus learned that. I have learned that. Everyone that is here that is saved, born again, has experienced that and without question knows that you are alive. Your son, Jesus, is alive. He died on that cross and he rose again. And please, Father, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, they've never come by faith to you, let today be the day that they are born again. Because it is the only life, real life, that we can possess. We can live for 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 100 years. But if we live it without you, it's not life at all. We need to come by faith, be saved, be born again. So please, dear Lord, today show us the way of salvation. Bring us to the cross of Calvary. And then, Father, without question, that we experience that you're alive, your son Jesus is alive. So please, guide and lead us now, Father, through this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There were many times that the risen Lord was seen after he had come out of the grave alive. There are 11 appearances given us between his resurrection and his ascension. Very quickly, I'll read through those. Mary Magdalene, when she was alone. Certain women returning from the sepulcher. Simon Peter, when he was alone. Two disciples on the road of Emmaus. The disciples assembled at Jerusalem without Thomas. Then again, a week later, with Thomas. Seven of the disciples who were fishing the Sea of Galilee, the 11 apostles on the mountain in Galilee, more than 500 brethren at one time, James when he was alone, all the apostles on the Mount of Olives just before his ascension. Great witnesses, great testimony. To preach this message, to talk about our risen Lord. In order for you to understand that, you must know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There's a personal relationship there. You see, it's not a religion. It's a relationship because Jesus is alive. And we need to understand that. And we have a personal relationship with our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is risen from the dead. My mother, my father, mother has died 20 years ago. Dad died 10 years ago. Mom is saved, born again. She's in the arms of the Lord Jesus. Dad refused, is not. He is right now in the place of torment. So you see, even in our own family, you have a choice to make. And many, including myself, talked to Dad, and he held on to his baptism and his confirmation, said that was enough. You see, Dad had religion, but he didn't have a Savior. All my family, all of your folks, you know folks that have died and faced the grave. They're still in that grave, whether they're born again, were born again or not. But those that are saved, their soul, their spirit did not stay in that grave. Neither did my father's, which died without Jesus. Because you see, his lost soul went to the place of torment, awaiting judgment. And then he will placed at the end of time, he will be placed into the lake of fire for eternity. The aches and the pains that my father had, He had always had trouble sleeping with his legs. That pain is going to be with him for eternity. Mom faced three surgeries, three brain tumors removed, had a stroke for 10 years, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't function at all. Well, her body's still in that grave, but her heart and soul is in the presence of Jesus right now, because Jesus is alive, because he's risen from the dead. And if Jesus would have just died and that would have been it, there would have been no life. Our sins would have been forgiven, but not complete, because unless Jesus is risen from the dead, we have no life. We have no victory. So, death we understand. But resurrection, oh, that's something we just can kind of imagine, try to in our mind realize what it was like when Mary got to the tomb that morning. And they had brought the spices and things to the tomb to finish the process of burial of the body of the one that they thought was their Lord and Savior. They believed in Jesus. They knew Jesus was the Savior, was the Messiah, and yet he died. Just like everybody else. He died just like everybody else. But then 3 days later, Mary shows up at the tomb. The other women, there's a group, but Mary comes and they have the spices, because you see, they didn't believe the words of Jesus that he's going to be raised from the dead. And not raised spiritually, not just his spirit as my mother's spirit and soul is in the arms of Jesus right now, but bodily. Bodily, he came out of that grave with his glorified body. And that's something that we're going to enjoy. You know, we have to finish this life. We may have to go to the grave. If we go to the grave, why, and Jesus comes, why, those that had to face the grave, they're going to have a special gift, because they're going to come out of that grave first. And then if we're still alive, then we'll join. We'll follow all in our glorified bodies, just like our Lord and Savior came out of the grave 3 days later. That stone was rolled away. Stone was rolled away. You see, there's great victory in knowing the Lord Jesus. And when we look at this 20th chapter of John, and we see the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She runneth, cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, which was John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. That's the only explanation that we can have. The tomb, the stone's rolled away. It was sealed, and a guard was put there. And yet they come 3 days later. You know, we kind of have the days confused, but Jesus was out of the tomb, risen, has glorified body at that early, the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And so if we back up, we find that Jesus went into the grave before dark on Wednesday night. And then there was a preparation day, which was the following day, which would be Thursday. And it was Friday when they went to the officials, to those that had control of the body in the grave. Says, do you remember what he said? He said in 3 days he's going to rise again. Now you see, the lost remembered those words. And so he told they convinced the officials that we need to do something more than just let that tomb alone. And so they came to the tomb and they put a seal on it. And then they put guards in front of it because they didn't want this to happen. Someone come and steal the body of Jesus. So even the lost, those that did not know the Lord Jesus, remembered those words and made that accounting of that tomb to stay closed and sealed. But that was on Friday. And then, of course, we have Saturday, and then through the night on Saturday, that stone was rolled away, and our Lord and Lord Jesus was not there. The stone did not have to be rolled away for Jesus to get out. Now, we look at the grave, and for my mother or my father to come out of that grave, someone would have to dig that grave up. Or in the times of this day, when they buried them in tombs, why, they would hewn out the rock in a location, and then they would take a stone and put that stone in front of that tomb. And so Jesus was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He was put in there. And so come that first day of the week when Mary showed up to finish anointing the body, that's how sure she was that Jesus was still dead. He was not alive. He was still dead. And so they came to finish the preparation of death. That they should, 'cause they didn't have time, you see, because it was coming nightfall on Wednesday night. We have to get him into the tomb. We have to get him buried before nightfall. And so they had to rush a little bit. They couldn't finish it. So they come to finish. But the tomb was empty. And again, the stone was not rolled away so Jesus could escape. Jesus in his glorified body was gone. But you see, for us to see that he was risen from the dead, they had to open the tomb. So they rolled that stone away. And we talk about an earthquake. We talk about the angels were present. And all those were there as they came and they looked in. They looked in and that tomb was empty. Oh, you would think that at that time, as close that Mary was to the Lord Jesus, that she would say, "Glory, he's risen." What did she say? "They've stolen the body. They've stolen the body of my Lord and Savior." And she even, you know, meets up with Jesus, and she, thinking he's a gardener, and says to him, "If you know, if you've had something to do with this, if you know where the body of Jesus is, tell me. I will go and I will take care of him. I will properly bury him." That's what she wanted to do. But you see, she'd forgotten the words. And in reading through the scripture, if you'll notice, each one of the gospels said, when Mary told them, they said, "Oh, glory, praise God, our Lord and Savior is risen." No, they didn't believe her. They didn't believe her. Even after she had spoken with the angels, the angel says, "You know, why are you here? He is alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead?" That's the verse of Scripture. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, when I have an opportunity to do a funeral, I speak those words if that person is born again, because their heart, their soul is not present there. You know, to be born again, to be saved, we do not have to fear death. We don't have to worry about it. It's a graduation time, and there may be some pain and there's some suffering coming to that place, but the second I take that last breath, I am going to be in the presence of Jesus in heaven, and I will await my body, glorified body, perfect body, to be with me someday. What a day. What a day. Every pain that you had when you got out of bed this morning and you had to get your body all loosened back up again and be able to move and you go up the stairs and your knees hurt, and you come down the stairs, your hips hurt. You just, no matter what, you just hurt. And I understand the older we get, the more pains we have. And you know, the saddest thing is that someone that dies without Jesus and has lived for many, many years, and they have maybe faced cancer, maybe they've faced some some health, serious health problems. Maybe they had to go through chemo. A young man that I've just become acquainted with, and just a young man, he's 26, 27 years old, and he has been found with cancer, and so he's going for chemo. And he came out to ride with his dad on the tractor, and he rode about 10 minutes, and he said, "Dad, that's about all I can stand." You know, he's getting sick. He just didn't feel good. And so, you know, we think that's something with somebody that's older, but not at all. And death can come. But you see, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't believe that he died for your sin, and if you don't come by faith to him and have that personal relationship, you're going to have to live in that old body of yours for eternity. You think you are suffering now. It's a lie when you stand and you listen to a preacher say when someone has died without Jesus that they're in a better place, because that's a lie. They are not in a better place, and that pain and suffering has not left them. The Word of God is very clear. All we need to do is come by faith to Jesus. Well, we know that Mary, once she saw, and we go all the way down to the 16th verse of the 20th chapter, and Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Oh, when Jesus spoke her name, she had no question who it was. And she turned, and she wanted to grab him, you know. And the other time, they did hold him in the other gospel. But here, I believe that the Lord Jesus had not ascended to his Father as he was to do, and then he would come back down. And so that had not been accomplished yet. But she so upset because she had forgotten the words. Please don't ever miss the words that Jesus died for your sin and Jesus rose again. And the scripture's very clear, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how simple it is. And for the first time, if you're 90 years old or if you're 10 years old and you recognize your sin and you need a Savior, you see, you got to be lost before you can be saved. Recognize that you're a sinner and I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Is Jesus. You know, we've had the opportunity of leading folks to the Lord Jesus that were very young and that were very old. To wait is a mistake, because all of your life then you have missed the opportunity of serving him. All of your life you've lived without Jesus, without life. So please today, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You know, Mary then, she comes and runs into to Peter and to John, and they hear the news and they take off running. And they find themselves to the back to the tomb again, back to the sepulcher. And John, he stops. He kind of gazes in and he believes. I believe John, just the second he got there and looked in and saw the Lord Jesus was gone, he saw the wrappings that they bury the body in. They were laid perfectly right where they laid the body of Jesus. But his head, that was wrapped, his head was laid off to the side. And I think when John looked in, he saw that. He was so excited, and he knew that Jesus was alive. Well, Peter, he was a little behind. John was a lot younger than Peter. And if you want to raise somebody and win, raise somebody that's older than you, and you'll be all right. Now, that's becoming more and more difficult for me to find somebody that's older than me to race. Peter was older, and so John got there first, then here came Peter. Peter didn't stop at the door like Peter did, or like John did. Peter went right inside. Peter was different than John. I think John remembered those words. "I'll be alive in 3 days." But Peter looked in, and the words tell us that he looked in almost confusion. What is this? What's taking place here? Both believed that Jesus was the Savior. Mary believed that he was the Savior. This isn't for salvation. This is believing that he has risen from the dead. Because if he had not risen from the dead, there would be no purpose in our meeting today. There'd be no purpose in reading the Word of God. It all is set up on the risen Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then they come back and they tell the others. And we find that even the announcement with Peter and John, the others still don't believe. They have forgotten the words that Jesus spoke. So please, today, do not forget these precious words. He is alive. He died for you so that He could save you. He is the Son of God. And as He is alive and out of that grave, there should have been a parade. There should have been a banquet. They should have cried out. And as the Scripture tells us, that man rejects the Son of God, but God can have the rocks to cry out, and He can have the rocks to sing. The mountains can sing to rejoice at His resurrection, His life. Jesus showed Himself to the disciples. And when He was there, first they questioned, but then they were able to touch Him and to see. But there was one man missing, and that was Thomas. You know, he gets a lot of blame because they call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas didn't believe anything. But really, none of them did. They had forgotten those precious words. Mary had forgotten. The disciples had forgotten. Why has Thomas been given such a name? He made the mistake of not being there. So he had to wait one more week. One more week, a week later, they were together. Jesus showed Himself. Because you see, with the glorified body, you're not confined to doors and walls and things like that. We can't imagine that. We can't imagine a perfect body. Which one of you have the perfect body that He's going to be an example of? Nobody's going to raise your hand, huh? That second time when Thomas was there, Jesus wanted him to see. And He said, "Touch my hands, see the nail scar." You see, if I die today and go into His presence, that's the first thing I'm going to see. Jesus in His nail-scarred hand. I'm going to see His pierced side. I'm going to see His nail-scarred feet as He was nailed to the cross. Because you see, those scars are with our Savior. And in His glorified body, He showed Thomas and He showed the others, but He showed Thomas that week later. He said, "Look, thrust your hand into my side. Touch my hands. See? See?" And Thomas believed. Can you please come by faith and trust in Jesus? Jesus has went home to be with His Father. He'll be there till He returns to get His church. So He can't step in here today and show you that nail-scarred hand, because you see, we have to believe by faith. But I read all those that witnessed Him, saw Him risen from the dead, touched Him, talked to Him. Don't miss life. We can possess a lot of material things, but there's only one thing important, and that is our relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so please, please trust in Him today. Call upon Him today for your Savior. Ask Him to come in and save you. It's that simple. And you will know immediately that you have just become a part of the family of God. You're part of the kingdom of God. There'll be a joy in your heart, and you'll begin to learn and to grow. You can study the Word of God all you want to, but it's just going to be a textbook until the day that you trust in Jesus, because then the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. He will show you the way. Please trust in Jesus today. Please trust in Jesus. I have 6 pages of notes. That's the first page. So if you would like to come back this evening, we'll go through a few more of them. Great to have you in the house of the Lord today. To be a Mary or to be John or to be Peter and come and 3 days after I watched my Savior die on the cross, I look into that empty tomb. What would I think? I would like to think that I would rejoice. He is alive. Where is he? Where is he? I know he's alive. I've got to see him. I hope that I wouldn't be a doubting Thomas or even Peter or Mary. But you see, it wasn't very long that our Lord and Savior came to Mary, called her by name. Oh, when that name was spoken, she knew that voice. She knew it was the risen Lord. Oh, please, trust in Jesus today. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and just enjoy this time together. I desire, Father, that all would know you as their Savior and just enjoy this wonderful life that we have. But as the Scripture, and didn't get back to Corinthians there to read where the Scripture tells us that if this is all there is, and we sure make this life so important and things of this life to us is so important, and yet is just a vapor in relationship to eternity. And without the Lord Jesus, we're just dying each day. But with the Lord Jesus, we're living each day. So please, dear Lord, just touch every heart today. Bring them to the cross of Calvary where you died and took all of our sins away. Father, today, touch every heart. We know you as our Savior. Oh, to think about the resurrection, to think about that glorious day, that grave did not confine you. Speak to our hearts now, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.